Yeah, buy some trees at Rockwell Farms Nursery. Buy three trees, we plant for free, and you can see Josiah's shiny face.
Yeah, you can see my shiny, sweaty face as I'm digging a hole and planting trees.
I want to know a little bit about the Master Gardeners, why you joined the Master Gardeners, and what's your biggest thrill?
I like that.
So that combination right there, that's really nice.
Yeah. She used to bring us buckets of cookies, you know, those ice cream buckets?
As soon as you see a weed, you pull a weed, and... So I did that in the morning with my coffee and then in the afternoon with my glass of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning, Northwest Arkansas and America. This is the Rockwell Farms Garden Show. My name is Mark.
And I'm Josiah Goss, and you're listening or watching Two Nuts on a Tree, the Rockwell Farms Garden Show. Today we have Wanda with us. Wanda is from the Master Gardeners Club. How are you doing, Wanda?
I'm doing fine. How are you all?
Doing wonderful. Today, we're going to be getting into a little bit of landscape design and how to make a container or colorable garden. And so we'll be getting into that. But why don't we start with time to apply, Mark?
All right. You take it on.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. I was waiting for the music. Time to apply.
The show like this.
Time to apply CritterGo. CritterGo is going to help you if you're having all of your beautiful plants are coming up, especially hostas and deer and rabbit are getting out there in your garden. CritterGo by Fertilome, it's awesome. You spray a perimeter around your garden. This is going to help keep those pesky critters away and make your garden beautiful. Yeah. Hey, keep it beautiful.
That's just a little squirt for individual plants, but what you do, you spray it as a perimeter and it'll change the deer's habit.
Absolutely.
So, here's the deal. It'll stop going into your yard. You know, the deer will start going to your neighbor's yard. The trick is just don't tell your neighbor what you're doing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right, here you go. I'll be your Vanna Watt.
Yeah, thanks, Vanna. All right, we got Tree and Shrub Drench by Fertilome. This is great because right now is the best time of the year to use this because your tree is absorbing the most right now. Tree and Shrub Drench is a systemic insecticide, especially for borers or other tree-harming insects. This is going to soak up through the cambium of your tree, go up through the whole tree, and get into the leaf. So when you have insects starting to kill off your tree, it will kill off the insect instead. Whether you have a problem right now or you want to prevent the problem, Tree and Shrub Drench by Fertilome.
And now is the time to apply that when you start seeing that green haze on your tree.
Absolutely. I would say the same thing. Rose and Flower Food by Fertilome Plus Systemic. This is also another one. This is a synthetic fertilizer, but this is so awesome for your roses and for your flower beds, especially seasonal flower beds. This is going to be a slow-release fertilizer and a systemic insecticide that'll soak up through the root system, go through the plant. So you won't be getting aphids on your roses, problems with your flowers. Keep the bugs away.
Yeah. Has the same active ingredient as a tree and shrub.
And then we've got Has to Grow Plant Food. I love this one. We say this a lot, but it's like an IV for your trees as well. You can use this mostly on anything. You can use this for your flower beds. This is by Medina, but you can use it on your flower beds. You can use it on trees, shrubs. Whenever we have problems with a customer's tree, maybe it's browning up a little bit, use that Has to Grow Plant Food. It's going to revitalize that tree and bring life back to it.
Yeah. So, hey, let's mention Five Star Fescue.
Five Star Fescue is a blend of five different seeds. It's a blend of five different seeds. We have the Sun Mix, which is a mix. It has three seeds that germinate in the sun and then two seeds that germinate in the shade. So whether you're planting it in your yard or under a tree, you're still going to get grass. And we have the Extreme Shade Mix. If you have a shady yard up in Bella Vista,
it grows in the closet.
It's going to grow in the closet. So keep your grass healthy. It's also green 12 months out of the year. Also, time to apply Proven Winter Color Choice Shrubs.
Oh, yeah.
Can I camp on that for a second?
All right, go ahead.
Proven Winter Color Choice Shrubs.
Camping, I know how you get.
These are in the quart pots. This one, I picked a few of my favorites to show off to you.
That's a good one.
But check that out. Golden Ticket Privet. This one gets about 6 to 8 foot tall. Has a beautiful chartreuse, kind of limey green to it. Also has some really fragrant flowers in the spring that smell like gardenias. Everybody likes that smell of a good gardenia.
All right, go with your gold pillar.
Gold pillar barberry. This is a great one. It's an upright growing plant. Only gets about 3 foot tall and about 1.5 to 2.5 foot wide. This is an upright growing barberry, but it has that beautiful color. It's very bright. These are some ways to get some bright color out in the garden. And
Sunurita
rose. I'm just going to put this right up to the camera.
That's
here.
Beautiful.
Can you see it?
Enough said.
Get your Pinky Winky.
All right. You Pinky Winky Prime. Pinky. So this is an improved variety of the Pinky Winky Hydrangea. This is a... You just like the name, don't you? Pinky Winky.
I think it's the weirdest name ever.
I feel cute when I say it.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay, Pinky Winky Prime. This is a panicle or paniculata hydrangea. This is a really easy one to grow. As the bloom fades, it turns to a beautiful pink color. This is great to have in the landscape. This can handle a lot more sun. So if you're wanting a hydrangea and you have more sun in your area, go for the Pinky Winky Prime.
All right, Bush Chair.
Here's a favorite. This is Easy as Pie. This is a new variety that's come from Proven Winner, Easy as Pie. This is a shrub-growing cherry that produces an abundance of cherries. And then it has these beautiful pink blooms in the spring. So this is a shrub-growing cherry tree, essentially, and it's a really easy one to grow. Proven Winners has worked really hard on coming out with this one, so highly recommend
it. Birds like it?
Everything likes cherries.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Goodness.
Including our deer.
Absolutely. Get the critter go for that, for sure.
It's so, like a winter berry during the spring.
True.
Don't put too much salt.
Okay, I won't. Yeah. All right. Hey, proven winter color choice shrubs. So we get those in quart pots, but they grow so fast. So we normally get them in quart pots.
All right, Jessica's going to do a short on that, mm-hmm. showing the quart in the spring and the result in the fall. So look forward to that. I'm excited about that.
I would.
People need to know how well they grow.
Well, people wonder how I fill up my yard with all these beautiful plants. Yeah. It's because I start with the inexpensive quart, and by the next season, it's a full-grown bush. Yeah. And so highly recommend going with the quart pot. You can save a lot of money and fill up your landscape pretty inexpensively. So
hey, I appreciate you bringing some of these irises. That Baddeck Irish that's purple and white.
Oh, yeah. Check that out.
Yeah, that is my wife's favorite.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I grew that years ago. I grow it every year just so my wife can see it. Mm-hmm. So the irises are coming along right now.
They're beautiful. They're right outside the
window. Oh, my goodness.
You like that, Wanda?
Yeah, yellow and peach, all kinds of colors. Yeah.
Orange. We even have, they're not up in bloom yet, but there's even a black bearded iris out there. And it's like a black leaf with a little tiny bit of purple in it.
Yeah,
but it's like a velvet black.
Yeah. Strange and unusual.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Why don't we get into the comment section segment?
Oh, yeah, I got that.
There you go. The comment section brought to you by you. These comments. If you're wondering how you can ask questions and we answer those, you can simply go, if you're watching on YouTube, go to the comment section and leave your questions. Those questions help other gardeners. Or you could go to rockwellfarms.com and leave your questions there. We answer those on this show.
Okay. First comment is, Mark, you do an outstanding job and you're fabulous.
Did you make that one up?
Says it right there.
Okay, wonderful.
I sent that one in.
Hey, Wanda, that's why we invited you to come. Thank you, Wanda. We need all the help we can get. Yeah.
Definitely. Half of us do.
All right, this is Kate. Kate says, Arkansas Black pollinators. I want to know what will pollinate Arkansas Black. Well, my two favorites, and I want to tell you, my two favorite pollinators across the board would be your Granny Smith and your Going Delicious.
Talking apples.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, talking apples.
Did I not mention apple?
Talking apple trees.
Well, maybe a past relative or something.
Yeah.
Arkansas Black.
Yeah. And Granny Smith.
All right, your Arkansas Black. See, Arkansas Black is really good because it was developed in 1923, so if there would be an apple during the Depression area, that would have very long shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, that's why University of Arkansas developed Arkansas Black. Does really well here. It's actually our number one seller as far as apple trees are concerned. Now, when it comes to pollinators, you can use the Gala, the Granny Smith, or the Going Delicious would be my three favorite. Now, of those three, I like the Granny Smith and Golden Delicious because those two will pollinate a wide variety of other apple trees. So it depends on your preference. If you want apple pie, Granny Smith. If you want a soft eating apple, that'd be the Golden Delicious. So that's my comment.
I agree. Yeah. That's a good one.
And then Mary asks if we have larger trees over 6 foot. Yeah.
Good grief.
How
yes.
about 16 foot?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we have one in the back that's about 18 foot, maybe.
Yeah. You install those puppy, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you want to see Josiah personally,
yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Order, yeah. Buy some trees at Rockwell Farms Nursery. Buy three trees. We plant for free, and you can see Josiah's shiny face.
Yeah. You can see my shiny, sweaty face as I'm digging a hole and planting your trees.
You do a good job.
Absolutely.
Do you plant them in rock?
Oh, yeah.
We live in Rockinsaw, so there we don't plant in normal dirt, that's for sure.
So he'll take all the rocks out, and then he puts in good planting mix, mixed in with the existing soil, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
You got quite the rock collection at home, don't you?
Yeah.
All right.
Goodness.
Then we have Paula. Paula says, do you sell fruit trees? Well, yeah. We have about 600 fruit trees to select from. Hey, they look great this year.
Oh,
we
my goodness. Our apple trees?
We changed our source.
Phenomenal.
We changed our source, and our apple trees are just outstanding. Wow, are they, about 8 foot tall at least?
Well, that guy's standing out there right next to them. They're about 10 foot tall, maybe, some of them. Yeah, 8 to 10 foot.
Yeah, our fruit trees have been fabulous this year, so we're really excited. And it goes everything from some of the hard-to-find ones we have, cherry trees, your nectarine. We even have a persimmon, different kinds.
Apricot.
Apricot. Apple trees galore.
Uh-huh. Pecans.
Excuse me, fruit trees galore.
We have got pecans.
Oh, our pecan harvest. Yeah. Now, that's one that's hard to find.
It has been, yes.
Yes. And so we have like 6 different varieties of pecan trees.
Yeah.
And make sure that you get a type 1 and type 2 so that you actually have pecans.
Definitely.
Next one is Rex. Rex wants to know if we have the lemon lace elderberry. I'll let you go.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So I'm going to rave on about this one. This is one of my favorite shrubs from Proven Winter, the lemony lace elderberry. It is a bright chartreuse, kind of yellowish green. Very, very bright. What I also love about this is if you don't have money to spend on a Japanese maple, get the elderberry lemony lace because it has a similar look of the dwarf Japanese maple.
Do both, man, because your Japanese maple's red, and there's nothing better than to have three of the yellow. You did that.
Yeah.
You had a Jap maple in the center with three of the elderberries.
I did,
around
Yep.
That was
absolutely
gorgeous, dude.
Yeah. So you get the bang for your buck on that, and it's an elderberry. It's really hard to kill, and it just takes care of itself. Yeah. Drought tolerant. It just takes off. So
it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you with that chartreuse yellow, it's just outstanding. It's a very good specimen.
And it'll have some little white blooms in the spring. Yeah. Not like your huge ones like the native elderberry, but it's going to have some round heads of white flowers.
Then there's Cynthia. Cynthia says, I want a screen around my pool. Well, I tell you, two of our most popular ones have to be the Spartan juniper. Spartan juniper gets it's narrow. What would you say? 3 to 4 foot wide and straight up, 12 to 15 foot. And then you can use the American pillar, which gets a lot taller. I mean, we're talking about 25 to 30 feet tall. Takes a while to get there, but that's fine. It gets about 6 foot wide. So it depends on how much planting source or space that you have around your pool. But either one of those would be great. They will not shed into your pool, and, be a good choice.
This one is from Catherine Payon. This is actually my aunt, so I feel like I'm going to just go ahead.
Oh, my word. Now you're calling relatives.
Happy Easter from Minnesota. I bet the nursery is beautiful at this time of year. Love watching your YouTube videos and all the knowledgeable information that is shared. You and Josiah make quite a team, and the laughter joking is contagious. Sending big hugs, lots of love to you and your family. Josiah, love Aunt Kathy.
Hey, I like your aunt.
Uh-huh. She's pretty cool. Yeah. She used to bring us buckets of cookies. You know those ice cream buckets?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We should have her down. Yeah.
She do that every year.
Love you, Aunt Kate.
I've never gotten a cookie.
I know you're out there listening. Love
you. Were they homemade cookies?
Oh, goodness, yeah. She would stay up for hours and hours and make these big ice cream buckets full of cookies.
You've never shared.
And you know they were gone in the matter of a couple days. So,
Okay, now I'm hungry.
Hours.
I know. You're welcome, Wanda.
Hours with that boy.
Love you, Aunt Kathy. We miss you and the cookies.
Oh, my word. I just raised my expectation. All right, Wanda, let's talk about you.
Oh, gracious.
Yeah. You're on the spotlight. Okay, Wanda, tell us, I want to know a little bit about the Master Gardeners, why you joined the Master Gardeners, and what's your biggest thrill?
Regarding gardening?
Loaded question. Yeah.
So, Master Gardener Association is throughout the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every state has a sponsorship, sort of. So, I started my Master Gardener career,
and, yeah,
non-paid. And,
so
we aren't paid either.
No.
So
I haven't been for a while.
In Texas, when my kids got to high school, I said I want to do something else. So I joined the Master Gardeners in Texas, and just thoroughly enjoyed it. And in Texas, they're kind of overseen by Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And then here in Arkansas, it's University of Arkansas Extension Program. And so when my husband and I retired up here a year ago, I decided to immediately join. Yeah. In fact, I wasn't even here a week before I called Joanne, our president, and said, yeah, hey, how do I get involved? And even
Joanne's awesome.
She is awesome. Yeah.
Isn't she? And so, so I've been knee deep in it up here. And there's been a little learning curve for me because I'm used to North Texas plants.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm in awe of your blooming trees in the spring.
Oh.
Mm. We have, a few in Texas, especially mostly red buds. But up here, the crab apples. Oh, my gosh. I need 15 of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No kidding.
I have a few favorites on that. The Perfusion is probably my favorite crab.
Oh, yeah. Robinson for me.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
So just the colors in the spring are beautiful up mm-hmm. here. And I'm not supposed to do this, but I brought a whole truckload of plants up here, a box truck.
Did you bring some lupine? You can grow lupine, and we can't.
I did not intentionally bring any,
it
did come up with some stuff.
Yeah.
And it did grow this morning. I mean, this spring. Yeah.
Good.
Not this morning.
Yeah. This morning. Yeah.
But I don't see it working very well up here at all.
No, but I love that plant.
Yeah. Now, when he says lupine, he's talking about Texas bluebonnets.
Yeah.
And there are all kinds of varieties of lupines, mm-hmm. but the most known one is the Texas bluebonnet.
Yeah.
So, but I've been learning a lot about the different plants and such that mm-hmm. will survive up here. Mm-hmm. I'm in shock that Japanese maples are in people's front yards in west-facing doors.
Oh, yeah.
I'm totally in shock of some of the things that are in full sun up here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not a believer that you can get away with it.
Yeah.
So,
well, in all honesty, they do better.
Yeah.
Excuse me, with protection from that western sun.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But you can put them out in full sun as long as you have good compost material.
Right. Right. So I got into master gardening, probably because I was born with a green thumb. My father taught horticulture at the University of Tennessee for 37 years.
Yeah.
So he was a horticulturist.
That's in Knoxville, right?
That was in Knoxville.
I almost went to Knoxville.
Really?
Yeah. When I graduated high school, I was either going to go to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville mm-hmm. or to the University of Arkansas here in Fayetteville. Both of them have similar climates.
Right.
I mean, it's just, they're identical. So. And I chose here. Yeah. Mm.
Well, I'm sorry.
I had I had relatives here.
Your blood is red, not orange.
I know.
Yes.
Good thing.
Mine's still orange, even though I haven't lived in Texas. I'm in Tennessee for 30-something years.
You're still a Tennessee fan.
Okay, when they're doing well.
Over that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Peyton Manning fan.
Yeah.
So, okay. He was with Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So my mother was also a gardener, and she was really talented. She did landscape design. My dad did landscape design. But my mother had the largest collection of native wildflowers in Tennessee, and my dad had the largest collection of native trees.
That's fabulous.
Yes. And they had just the most amazing property. Wow. And so it for me to grow up in that environment mm-hmm. and to always see all the plush, lush everything, and just to see how effortless it seemed for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really therapeutic. It was therapeutic for them, and now I'm finding it to be extremely therapeutic for me.
Yeah. So. One of my favorite things to do is just walk the nursery
mm-hmm.
and just see
oh,
things
yeah.
grow.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so I do that in my own garden in Texas. Mm-hmm. I had about an acre. I had well over 10,000 plants. I had 110 trees.
Wow.
30 of them were ornamentals, and the rest of them were all post oaks. So a lot of shade. But I added most of the ornamentals, and I added all of the perennials and such. But I had a habit of, in the morning with the coffee, you go out
oh, yeah.
and look at the plants.
Oh, yeah.
And see
oh,
what
goodness.
Grew overnight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
My whole theory is, my whole mission is you see a weed, you pull a weed. And so I did that in the morning with my coffee and then in the afternoon with my glass of wine. And so I never had any.
No, didn't have a problem. I'm
no
sure.
Weeds.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyhow, so that's I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
Fabulous.
And I love to share what I know.
Okay, and that's why you're here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's share time.
So I will share that one. The thing that I was really after in my garden
mm-hmm.
was to have something new blooming every week of the year.
Okay,
I love
that,
you.
I call that an orchestra.
Yeah,
it is. And
yeah. Something is playing all the time.
Something is playing
That's
all the
beautiful.
Time. So I have presentations on just that, you mm-hmm. know, how to get color year round.
Yeah, succession.
And there's
planning,
so many
yeah.
things that people forget. There's a lot of fall blooming plants.
Yep.
I mean, obviously we have our New England aster, but there's quite a few others. And then our spring bulbs and fall bulbs,
mm-hmm.
people forget to put bulbs in.
Yeah.
And bulbs are kind of like the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
You're gonna dig them up when you want to put a plant down mm-hmm. because you forgot there's a bulb there.
Surprise.
Surprise. But they're also a surprise because you know, as you get older.
You
like,
plant them
like
and
me,
forget about them.
Exactly.
And they pop up in the spring. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of
like a squirrel.
Did I put those things?
I call that the squirrel planting.
Right.
Because the squirrel put a nut somewhere and forgets about it.
Yeah. Well, because you're often waiting months and then you go, oh, yeah, we did that.
I
yeah.
Right.
So in the winter, we have our hellebores. We have, you can add some winter color with some pansies. Mm-hmm. In Texas, we could do pansies in the winter.
We can too here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, So I really didn't do very many annuals. I put my money into perennials. But when you become a master gardener, you swap plants with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you get free plants.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a hidden agenda.
So it's kind of like the barter system.
Yeah. And it's one of those things I always tell people my master gardener friends, I did this in Texas all the time. They never took me up on it. I said, if you go out of town, I'll come over and take care of your plants for you.
But oh, I'll you could get cuttings?
Yeah, that's like,
no.
That's like having a thief come into your house.
No
come
cuttings.
On, Wanda.
No cuttings. I take a shovel.
Oh. that's good.
That
is awesome.
The cuttings take too long.
Yeah, that is
and then
awesome.
You tell them that they have a gopher
that is
problem.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm really
all
good at it.
Dilla's made all those holes.
I can divide plants in the ground and cover them up and you'll
Hey, I know you watch my plants, but I'm pretty sure the daylilies were a lot thicker than that.
That is awesome.
So nobody ever takes me up on that.
Shoot, house watch that.
You try it sometimes.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
That's
beautiful.
Great.
All right. So let's talk about what we call color bowls for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Those really interesting pots that you might have. and what to put in and so forth. When I look at a color bowl, there's three things that I always focus on. You have your centerpiece, mm-hmm. and then you have your fillers, mm-hmm. and then you have what are called droopers, those that hang filler. Over.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what I really want to do is just kind of tour the nursery uh-huh. and get your thoughts on things okay. and kind of share with people what they can do with what they got.
Right.
You know?
Right. So we do teach the thriller, filler, spiller method.
Thriller, spiller, filler. I love it.
We do teach that, but I can break that rule often in my house.
Yeah,
definitely. And because one of the things I like to do the most is to put a big elephant ear in a pot.
All right.
And then, so that is your thriller. Mm-hmm. But then maybe just let spillers come in underneath it, you know.
Love
so
it. Yeah.
And not do a filler. And so there's rules, but rules are made to be broken.
Absolutely. Yeah. Goodness.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at least we could tell people this is kind of the theme yeah. or this is the method that you might want to look at so that well, you can do what we
to
do
get
here.
A good balance on
exactly.
and so it's appealing to the eye.
Right. Yeah. And I've always said in a color bowl, gaudy is good.
Gaudy
is good. Yes, like Elvis Presley. You know, Elvis was the most gaudy person on this earth.
Gaudy is good, but I do like the color tones to bump.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it, the softness and
sometimes
so forth.
Just a white bowl of petunias is just what's needed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So. Yeah.
Right.
So there's all kinds of methods, and so nothing is really right or nothing is really wrong.
Yeah.
It's your personality. Like, right. I have a gaudy personality. Yeah, my wife has to dress me.
She did well today.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you got up before she did
today. Took me a couple hours. But, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't paint your house yellow and purple and pink, but that looks really good in a color bowl.
It does, up against a white house.
I mean,
house,
I paint
it
my
would
house.
Look really pretty.
I'd paint yeah. my house yellow, purple, and pink. Yeah.
Okay.
But
again, his wife dresses him. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you go to Louisiana.
They're there.
Yeah, and that's yeah. what they do.
Yeah.
You'll find yellow houses with the purple railing and pink trim on their windows, and it works, and it's awesome. Yeah.
It's great that it's in Louisiana.
Oh man, I like it. See, and so I think that's awesome because, like we said. Your color bowls represent your own personality, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so, really, there is no right and there is no wrong.
You're exactly right. You're mm-hmm. exactly right. But a lot of people do get stumped with what is going to look good together. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're here for. We can go yeah. out and show them some things that look good together.
All right.
All right. Well, let's get to it then.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Cut.
Wanda, thank you for doing this. And what you got?
Well, Mark and Josiah and I took a really great stroll through the nursery and found some lovely plants. We want to talk about color bowls. They have a ton already made up for you, but I know you want to get your hands dirty and try it yourself.
Yeah, but this is your stroll.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, this is my my deal. So when you're thinking about a color bowl, we really want to talk about something in the center that's taller, something that's in the middle that's fuller, and then something that trails down. And there are a lot of options in all three categories in your local nursery, in this nursery. And but you need to be mindful of how large the plant will eventually get, and if there's sun or shade. You don't really want to mix sun and shade plants in the same pot. But if it's a morning facing sun pot, it only gets morning sun, you can mix the two. So I've kind of mixed them just a little bit here.
And with your full sun plants, it's not that they have to have full sun. They will tolerate full sun.
They will tolerate full sun.
So you have a lot
sun.
Of grace there,
right.
correct?
And I typically, I love pots on the patio. I love pots because you can move them. So a lot of us are not really in tune to how the sun moves further north during the summer. And so we think it's shade. We put it out there in May.
Time to move.
And then we're out in the pool one day and we're out there for 8 hours yeah. and the pot's not yes. in the shade anymore. So just be mindful of that, that the sun does move north, and that you, where you had shade for 8 months of the year, now you have sun for 4 months of the year. And that happens all the time. So I love begonias. I love dragon wing begonias. These can get really tall. You can pinch them back if you need to. I like to stuff my pots really full.
That looks good just with that.
You put three of those in there. And then we want to add some color. Now, these are really tiny, but they're a big bang for your buck.
Yep.
They're a six-pack. These get big, okay? But they're a great filler. These
I
are
love
impatience.
That color. That's the lipstick,
this,
isn't it?
Beacon Impatience.
Oh, looks so, like lipstick.
It looks like lipstick, and it's pink. So what I did here is I tried to play off of a pink and white theme with just a basic green pot. So these will go in... And I would probably only use three of them, even though they're tiny. I'd probably only use
They'll
three of
big.
Them. They'll get big. I do not have soil in this pot. I'm not potting these up permanently today. But you can see that. And then we want to look at something that has some texture. So this is Plectrocanthus. Okay. It's beautiful. It's kind of in the ivy family. And it's soft. It has a little gray tone to it. And it's just really a sweet... viney kind of addition to your pot.
I
would
like
put
it.
One on that side, and I'd put one over here on this side. And then this is verbena.
That'll kind of tie it in together, won't it?
Yeah, it'll totally tie it in. So you've got the variegated verbena here, the variation in the flower, which is white and pink, and then you can add those in on the
I'm
sides.
I'm loving it.
And then we'll put this one in over here. And really, for not a lot of money, you just made a beautiful pot for your patio.
Josiah, I want you to copy this. Let's pop this up and put a price on it. I love this.
Okay, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, this is ingenious.
That's awesome. Okay, so you can also pot, and I do this all the time.
Yes.
I pot up perennials. A lot of times you can just leave them out during the winter in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next spring, if something didn't make it, you can pull that out and put something else in it, like an annual if you'd like. But
I see this got one of my favorite.
Wait, I needed the pot that was in the
let
pot.
Me grab that for you.
And this daisy.
Here you go.
This is a painted daisy.
Love this.
Really, really cool. So these are all going to be a little bit more full sun. Maybe we don't do that. Maybe. Well, we're going to try to just do it this way.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll work.
So this is tall, but I also have some salvia here. Blue Bayou salvia.
I want to go back to you talking about these. We'll come back every year.
Okay.
This Tennisseum, Painted Daisy, was actually in this pot all winter.
Okay.
And it came up this spring.
Okay.
So it all has to do with soil volume. So if it'll come up in this 1 gallon pot, you know it will come up in this big pot.
Right, right. Okay. Now this is a huge hanging basket. You don't have to use it as a hanging basket if you don't want. Or you could sit it on a pedestal, that type of thing. So here, this would be squeezed in here, and then I have another one here. So these are salvias. They're beautiful. They get big. Go ahead.
Blue Bayou.
Blue
I'm
Bayou.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. And one thing that you can do too is you start them in this pot, and then in the fall you can move them to your garden.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So you don't have to.
And these are deer resistant also. People love this. That's one of Josiah's favorite plants.
It is in the mint family. It has a square stem on it. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then this is a, I call them corbels because I hate to say the real name.
Huchera?
Hucheras. Hucheras.
Yeah, Huchi.
Okay,
it's
so
a Huchi plant.
I pulled in this burgundy to sort of offset the purple. And then we have dianthus.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful dianthus. It's kind of creamy color. We're going to put those in, maybe one on either side.
Like that?
Uh-huh. And then I found... this is a lavender. Now this will bloom eventually. This is probably, it says it's perennial.
Yes, about 12 to 18 inches tall. It has nice variegation.
And it
you'll
is
have
5 to 9. So that's
bluish
awesome.
Bluish purple. Oh, so 5 to 9?
Zones, 5 to 9.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it doesn't bloom 5 to 9.
Oh.
Okay. 9 to 5, 5 to 9.
But it'll get about 12 to 18 inches
and
tall.
And then the lobelia is another one. And a pot like this, I would almost put 3 or 4 more of these things in it.
So the white kind of ties it all in and brightens it up?
It brightens it up. It'll fall down on the sides or whatever. Now, I'm going to give you a trick that I learned from a lady who does beautiful containers, is when I get my nursery plants home, sometimes they're a little dry. These are not. Somebody has just watered them. They're really nice. But I get a bucket of water, and I put some
hormone?
No, root stimulator. Yeah. A liquid root stimulator in the bucket.
We use Fertilum root stimulator
here. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the one I use. And so you just pour some in the bucket, and you mind the instructions, and then you soak the plant while you're getting your pot ready. So as you're getting your dirt in the pot and you're getting it all ready, you let the plants soak in there, in their own pots, for about a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you take them out and you stick them in the soil so they get really nice and rooted. So then you always water in your pots. And don't forget to fertilize.
Now, watering in, when you say watering in, you're not talking about just sprinkling on top. You're talking about drenching it to where it comes out of the bottom.
Drenching it. Just drenching it. And if you're going to try to hang this, you're going to need something really sturdy to hang it by.
And we have those. And Mama Jamas.
Okay. Some Mama Jama hooks. Mm-hmm. And so this will turn out to look like something you would see in Dollywood or Six Flags or, you know, some of those Disney World where they're just beautiful.
Exactly right.
Beautiful. They have... Don't forget to water them as you go, because like every 2 to 3 days, they would definitely need water, and do not let them dry out. That's the one thing with hanging pots that people have the biggest problem with, is they let them dry out.
You know, a question that we get here at the nursery is, when do I water my hanging basket? And what we tell them is, after they water it in to where they have good root soil contact, hang it up and then lift it.
Okay.
And use that as your barometer on how much water is in there.
Right. And this one has a nice little plastic liner in it on top of the cocoa core.
I really appreciate that by the supplier.
It might hold a little bit more moisture and not let it all drain out.
Actually, it's cocoa liner, that plastic is very important because the wind, it keeps the wind from drying your basket out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
it's
why
very
we,
important.
We use this vendor.
So you guys need to, you know, buy these baskets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you have smaller ones of these baskets?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know that everybody needs this big of a basket. so then.
Not everybody lives in Dollywood.
Yeah. Then we all pulled some plants. I pulled for 3 different pots. Here again, you get a lot of bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. This is Calabrocha. Mm-hmm. We've got it Impatience. I like to put my calabrochas more in the shade, especially no afternoon sun. We have a coleus. Those get big. And then asparagus fern. You cannot go wrong with a filler with asparagus fern.
Yes.
What they need here are 2-gallon pots of asparagus fern. So, and I will give you a trick. If you buy asparagus fern in a big clump, just take a sharp knife, serrated knife, and cut it in 3s or 4s, and then you've got 3 or 4 pieces. Mm-hmm. So that make your money go a little further. But don't do that to this. Just buy 3 of them.
So, but if it was bigger, you'd cut it up.
Yeah, yes. And I do that with ferns. I am a big Mac fern lover, or
The macho.
Yeah, yes. The macho ferns. And I will get them in the bigger pots, and then I'll take them and I'll use my serrated knife and I'll cut them in 4ths, and then I use those in a pot with other plants.
That's
and
smart.
Such. So at my house, you'll find a peony in a pot with a hostas around it, or you may find a big, huge elephant ear with some... Let's see, what all do I put in with those elephant ears?
You said earlier that...
Just all kinds of impatience and things like that.
Yeah, in the elephant ear, you use big impatience. Something has a big filler to accent the leaves.
Right. So This is a really cool plant. It's more of a, it's an annual. Seen?
I love it because it's gaudy.
But it's just gorgeous. Look how it pops off of here. And then I pulled, this has a stem in the same color family, but it's a more of a chartreuse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't be scared to mix and match like that. And then here again, we have another one. There's a chartreuse and then in a purple.
No, hold that up again. I like that.
So that combination right there, that's really nice. And these get about 18 to 30 feet tall. 30 feet.
Put this in the tree section. Josiah will install that.
Okay. Yeah, that's an easy one, Josiah. 18 to 30 inches tall. Okay, so another great combination here of thrillers. These would be your thrillers, fillers, and spillers right here.
Fabulous.
And the calabroches and impatiens will be your fillers as well. One of the biggest mistakes people make when they're doing pots is they only put three plants in. If you can fit all of these inside the pot before you plant it, then put them all in the pot. Mm-hmm. And then you'll just
kind of measure it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, just make sure, don't underfill a pot. Always overfill.
What you said about the part sun, I thought was great. This coleus right here is a full sun coleus or a shade. And what I like to do is that I'll pinch the top. When you pinch the top of it, you'll never notice that you pinched it. But it will actually, see where it's starting to grow here?
It sends out and it gets wider instead of taller.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a great trick. So we could teach y'all lots of tricks like that.
At the Master Gardeners.
Well, at the Master Gardeners or here in your nursery.
Fabulous.
So everybody here knows that.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Very good.
Thank you, Wanda.
You're welcome.
All right, Josiah, why don't you get your gathering and we'll see what you have.
You have a bunch of hydrangeas.
I do. You know, Wanda, I'm kind of the simple gardener.
Okay.
This is my favorite. This is my favorite kind of area, is kind of the simple, and mass planting can make a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've got here is I've got a few hydrangeas. Sandy, if you're watching, these are all proven winners, so you'll like this. Reblooming mountain hydrangea. So this is a tough stuff aha. And sometimes when I'm doing some containers, this is perfect for just plopping this in a smaller container. Because they're hydrangeas, they actually do pretty good on a covered porch. So you don't have to worry too much about that. But also maybe pairing them with, I've got some variegated vinca here. So I've got the tough stuff aha, which is a blue. Perfect. Awesome. And just pairing them, sometimes simplicity is everything. And then over here, I've also got a Fairy Trail Fresco. This is a newer variety from Proven Winners. This is a cascading hydrangea. So once this fills out in a pot, it'll actually start to cascade over. They're a Fairy Trail Fresco. This is a mop head variety. I really like it. It's kind of got this antique kind of color to it with the lime green, the blue, and the purple and pinks. And then over here, this one is, this one's definitely my favorite. It's a Fairy Trail Bride, also a cascading hydrangea. So I like this one because you can put it in a hanging basket because it will cascade. And then you can put it in a container or just plant it in the landscape. It'll come back every year. This is a great one.
One of the nice things about planting a hydrangea in a pot is that you might have a little bit better control over the acidity of the soil.
That's exactly true.
It won't leach out as much. So if you get an amender to your soil so that you can maybe affect the colors of the hydrangeas, then you can have a little bit more success.
That's
now,
weird.
This is a white hydrangea. It's not gonna turn colors on you.
Correct, yeah, unfortunately.
but these might turn a truer blue or a truer purple.
Yeah, so these are great varieties. Just sticking these in a pot. And the great thing about these is like your perennial basket, love it. They'll come back year after year and you don't have to keep replanting in that pot if you're a lazy gardener.
That's right, yeah. That's right. So I love it. I do daylilies in pots just for the same reason.
Oh, that's great, yeah. Let me move these guys out of the way. Next thing I got here also with the simplicity is this is a Cordyline. I think it's a dark sister. Anyway, this is a larger cordyline. Usually we see smaller ones, but this one's great. It is tropical, so this one you're gonna wanna either put it in your garage for the winter or with some, a little bit of light in your sunroom, or replant it the next year. And then I've got sun impatience. Sun impatience, like she was talking about, great bang for your buck, because this little tiny plant
can get huge.
Yes, a great size. And so just placing some around that cordyline, different colors, you can mix these guys up, and these will fill in. Your cordyline, this variety doesn't like too much sun, so make sure it's in a shaded area in the afternoon. It can handle the morning sun, but the same for the sun patients. Now these do great in full sun, but
they do better in partial.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people are mistaken when we talk about tropicals, because it's hot and sunny when in tropical islands.
Right.
Okay, but tropicals have a huge canopy of trees and of green vegetation. And the plants that we grow here for annuals that are tropical would prefer to have that canopy.
Absolutely.
So they prefer to have that afternoon shade. So they're not a full sun, afternoon sun plant. The other thing I want to point out too, and they're not going to like me for this, is that there are four in this container. If I'm the buyer and I have four pots I want to pot up, I'm going to take this and I'm going to pull the four of them apart.
I love your thinking.
Okay,
yep.
But,
I'm
but
with you,
if you're not comfortable doing that, just go ahead and put all four in your pot.
Yeah, definitely.
So those would go in a very large pot.
I love it. You're like the budget gardener.
Yes.
We need to hang out more.
Yeah.
I need help.
Okay. Well, you get free plants, don't you?
don't say anything.
Okay. That's why he shows up to work early and stays late.
Again, sometimes simplicity is everything. So I've actually, there's a few hanging baskets in here that we made. This is a impatient basket. Now this does, this is double impatient. I think this is apple blossom. This variety, but this is a double impatient, looks like little tiny gardenia
roses.
Or
like
small
roses.
Rose heads.
And it's beautiful.
This one does great for shade. So if you have a fully covered porch, this will actually still grow in that fully covered porch, maybe just a little bit slower. And it's really light, delicate, and it does a lot for the eye.
So with impatience, one thing I learned is not to fertilize them, they get leggy. The other thing is never let them dry out, because then they'll start getting leggy as well and they won't grow as well.
Yeah.
And you can pinch them back a little bit if you need to.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
all right. The next one that I've got right here, this is a double nonstop begonia and terrenia.
This is good single too, Josiah. I want you to talk about that.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that gorgeous? Oh my gosh.
Before we get to this one, this is a begonia. Look at that. Just nonstop. So this will keep blooming all through the spring, summer, and going into fall. This is a great begonia. But again, sometimes simplicity is everything. If you already have a lot going on in your landscape, go for something simple. You know, one plant, or this has multiple plants in it. But keep it simple. When you have a lot going on, sometimes it can be hard for your eye to have a place to land on. But really, at the end of the day, gardening is all about your preference and what you like. And so you can scratch everything we say if it's something that you like.
So last Saturday, I taught a class on propagating begonias on Ooh. By leaf sections. So when you buy this pot before it goes... south for the winter. Mm-hmm. You can also take it in as a house plant, but you can take the leaves and you can Google how to propagate by leaf sections.
That's awesome.
So they do really well that way.
All right, we've got some blue midnight terrenia and a yellow nonstop begonia, and I think this just
beautiful
says it all.
Mm-hmm.
Should we move on?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. We got to talk about this one back here, the petunia.
Okay. This one's kind of like a wedding basket.
It's beautiful.
Okay. Crazy tunias. I highly, highly, highly recommend you keeping an eye out for crazy tunas, because this thing just looks good all the way around.
Isn't that gorgeous?
This is a crazy tunia that we planted in here along with its white lobelia in here. And then this is yellow zebra potato vine.
Ooh,
and
wow.
This will just cascade. The whole thing is basically its own thriller, filler, and spiller, mm-hmm. even though they're all kind of spillers. But it just blends together really well. And just look at that yellow that hangs down out of that basket.
Tunias are another one that you absolutely don't want them to dry out. So if you're going on vacation and you have pots, you need to ask somebody to come water them or put them, take them down from hanging and put them in your landscape where your sprinklers will hit them.
Well said. Well said, for sure. And this is also something that you never really have to deadhead. It'll kind of deadhead itself and always just look phenomenal. So, Mark, why don't you get in here and talk about yours?
Okay, on this part, what I wanted to do is talk about what to put in some of the smaller containers mm-hmm. and kind of focus on shade.
Right.
Because some people have deep shade, and the common problem is that they want something flowering that will go in deep shade. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I picked out a few things. New Guinean patients always work as a centerpiece for mm-hmm. your shade plant. And then you mentioned it earlier, the Taurinia.
Uh-huh.
Taurinia always gives you color.
Right.
And
LSU colors.
Yeah.
LSU colors.
Yeah, now we're back to gaudy.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Imagine yellow and purple, mm-hmm. right?
Uh-huh.
So you can use these as your filler droopers around the centerpiece. And of course, I picked the most gaudy ones we had.
Right. Well, no, pink's not gaudy. Red might be.
Yes, this is yes.
Orange.
This is my red orange. I love orange.
Orange?
Well, okay. Because orange just really draws the eye.
It sure does.
Yeah.
It's an eye catcher.
And then what I like to do around my centerpiece is just that you can use this Dusty Miller. Now, these are really short and squatty. Don't let that fool you.
Yeah, they grow fast.
Yes, and that's why they spray them with growth regulators so that we can actually sell them. Mm-hmm. But once you put them in, they just, and they'll get about 12 to 15 inches tall. And the reason why I like them is because the brightness of your Dusty Miller brings out the orange.
Yes.
So I'll put three of these around my orange New Guinea, and this can be my drooper filler around.
Exactly. And then don't forget, on the Dusty Miller, if it starts getting leggy, you can pinch it off.
Exactly. Now, this is one of my favorite six-pack begonia, okay? This is the pink red leaf. I like this one as my filler. I would use this in my shade basket as a filler in between my Taurinia.
Mm-hmm.
Because this will actually go with either one of these, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of the times I'll contrast rather than try to match. I think that's really important.
So we have to teach both sides of the brain here.
Yeah. Yes.
So for those of you who don't see the connection, there are half of you out there that do see the connection.
Yes, absolutely. I am speaking to that half.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And I spoke to the other half.
I am talking to all the gaudy people.
Okay, well, the don't people call them that gaudy.
Are out there.
They're people who just really like a spot of color.
If you like Mark's personality, this might be the planter for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And so now talking about smaller gardens once again, this right here is Angelonia. Comes in white, purple and white.
It's beautiful.
And one of my favorite raspberries, okay?
This is a really pretty one.
These work as very good centerpieces. It'll work good in a smaller pot, or you can put three of them together in a bigger pot.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, they'll get 15, 18 inches tall and really bush out. And then another filler to go around there would be your Dianthus. Dianthus works really good as a filler inside your basket to cover up the dirt space.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can mix in your petunias. Now this is the Madness series, which is always a very bright series because I'm kind of the bright and gaudy one here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your Sugar Daddy. So I really like these two. They work well together with your centerpieces of Angelonia.
Very pretty.
I wanted to talk about Portulaca.
Portulaca.
And your purslane.
Mm-hmm.
This right here is purslane. It actually will tolerate your 100 degrees and above. So if you do have that mm-hmm. basket that gets the 3 o'clock sun, you cannot burn out your Portulaca or your purslane. And the difference between purslane and Portulaca is that your purslane will get a lot bigger than your Portulaca. And I like this because it is the hot pink with the yellow trim.
And it's perfect for planters around a pool. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
And I wanted to note this. This is from the big series begonia. Not many people know about this. And the big series will get 15 to 18 inches tall. So if you do have a shade color bowl, this right here is a very good filler for that big centerpiece. Mm-hmm. You can actually take a dwarf elephant ear and mm-hmm. put it in the center and then plant this around it. I've done that before and
that'd
it works really well.
It's lovely.
So don't overlook your big series of the begonias that comes in white, red, pink.
This is just a beautiful double right here.
Yeah,
triple.
It really is. Beautiful. And I love the foliage. Mm-hmm. The foliage really tones it down and makes it look really nice.
That's
so
great.
That's the big series begonia.
Here we go.
Yeah.
What do you have here?
These are some of my favorite Calibraco. We mentioned it earlier. Calibraco is really good because it'll tolerate the full sun and the shade like you were alluding to earlier. The yellow is really good for spreading the eye. If you put three of these inside, you can go ahead and put a dabble of this right here, okay? Or my wife's favorite, the double Calibraco pink.
Oh, wow.
All right. So if you use your yellow throughout, let's say three yellows throughout, you could take, let's just say this TikTok variety, this right here, put three of these in here. That way you have consistency and something going on all sides of your pot.
Absolutely. So if you get tired of it, turn your pot.
There you go. I love
that. I'm certain we don't have any Razorback fans watching. But
yes.
I tell you what, it's hard to find red over behind us over here.
You're right.
A beautiful red verbena. Mm-hmm. This is red. Yes. There's some more red petunias. So definitely if you want your patio to look like a Arkansas Razorback.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You know, party place.
Yeah.
Go for the reds.
We even have red New Guinea impatiens.
Right.
So
not the pinky, yellow, orangey red.
Yeah, we have some true red.
Yeah, some true red.
Yeah.
And that's a very good point.
And then add some Dusty Miller and add some other white to it, and there you go.
Okay.
You're set.
Red. There you
get the cooler full of ice.
If we can set these on the ground, I want to show some of the how you could be unusual with the containers. I want to talk about containers a little bit.
That's right.
This is a watering can that we put Calibraco with Million Bells on the top. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my favorite because it is gaudy. It's yellow, your burnt orange, and your purple. I love this combination. It really speaks to me. It might not speak to you, but that's the nice thing about color bowls.
Yeah.
It does speak to me, and it speaks tacos and margaritas.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, okay. This is our taco margarita watering can.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Tacos and margaritas.
I love
tacos
you,
and margaritas.
Wanda. Wanda, I just absolutely love you.
Okay.
This right here is another container, hanging basket.
Yeah.
And this is a bronze hanging basket. And see all the nice colors that we have here, the verbena, Calibraco, your petunia. And this is the wave petunia or one of the crazy tunias. Works really well. Doesn't take over the bronze hanging basket. Mm. And so I just wanted to note that you can have really creative colors in your plant material and also the container.
Really?
Does it have holes?
Yes.
It does have holes. That's awesome.
Very important.
Another thing that's really awesome about this hanging is that this is strong.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to try to reach up to hang it. You can just
lift your pot.
Brilliant. It's awesome.
And this company did really good by preserving the inside and the outside to where you can use it year after year. It will not rust out on you.
Right.
So I really like that. And the last part of my show and tell would be your succulents.
Mm-hmm.
This is a succulent bowl, and I'll tilt it forward for you. This has been a really good seller. I tell you, Chris is really good at this.
She is.
Chris did this.
Stirring these together.
And this is one that people have really, really liked, a succulent bowl.
So let me tell you a little bit about succulents. I've always been more successful with them if I just forget about them.
Yes, ma'am.
So I take them outside. Yes. I put them in filtered sun. Uh-huh. They get maybe just a little bit of 2 hours of full sun but before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just forget about them. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then I'll remember to water them. So don't place them in front of a sprinkler that runs every other day.
Right.
And don't
feel how light this is.
Just because the soil looks dry, they love it like that.
Yes.
I think all of us have killed more succulents than we've been successful
exactly.
with.
Exactly. And yes, remember when we talked about when you first do it, you'll water this plant in, and then you just leave it alone. And remember when we talked about lifting it?
Mm-hmm.
That is a very good way to see if your plant needs water or not.
Right.
Just lift it and we'll tell you the saturation of the soil.
And so make sure you have a well-draining soil and a hole in the bottom.
Yes.
And these will all grow and fold
just
over.
This
is beautiful. And then this is called kangaroo paw. Is that right? Or the guy Org from
Shrek.
Yeah. What was he? An ogre.
This is our ogre succulent.
Yeah, an ogre succulent.
Like yes. Ogre ears.
Yeah. We sell ogres.
Yeah.
We have layers.
So, really great combination. And then you can bring that in the winter and grow it inside.
Yeah.
And again, don't water it too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that is, I think, one more. Remember, I wanted to focus on some of the different containers that you can use.
Yeah.
This right here, this is new. Remember our trade show that we went to?
Yes.
We got a whole line of these type of pots, and Jessica's going to show some of the different colors. But this right here would really look good. You can let your pot shine by just putting uprights in it. And you had a very good idea.
We just had this sitting here. Now they do compete with the pot just a little bit, but if you really want a lot of color,
I think that accent.
You can do that. Oh, yeah. And then I would almost put just a green ivy or a green filler, even some asparagus fern or something in that. But again, just something tall in the middle works.
Yeah, and let the pot shine as well.
Right.
Definitely. So I just want to let people know that there's two sides to it. You can be creative with your plant material and creative with your pot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Awesome. Well, you guys have a plant sale coming up.
We sure do. Master Gardeners of Benton County, we do an annual plant sale. And this year we have moved it from downtown Bentonville to right beside Helping Hands Thrift Store off of D Street. And our plant sale focuses a lot on herbs, tomatoes, peppers, and some medicinal. And we have some annuals, we have some trees, and some and quite a few perennials. I think we have about 5,500 plants.
Wow.
We've been caring for them. We've grown most of them from seed, and we're tired of them, so we need you to come and purchase them. So our plant sale is May 2nd and 3rd.
Okay.
It's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on May 2nd and 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on May 3rd.
Wonderful.
That's a Friday, Saturday. And the new location may have a little parking congestion, but we feel like the plants are going to shine and you'll find what you want. 43 varieties of tomatoes, 35 varieties of peppers.
Okay.
So, and our tomato plants are this tall.
Let's do a show there. We need to go.
Oh, let's go. Awesome.
Can we go?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, good. One.
Yeah,
is this our personal invite?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I want you to come. I'll take you around.
Joanne,
I'll show you.
Invited us as well.
Okay, we're back in the studio, and
yeah,
I tell you what, that was really good.
That was great.
I really loved you being here. I learned a lot, and the nice thing is, just like you have different color bowls for different personalities, your perspective was great.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
I learned a lot. And Wanda, we just want to say how much we appreciate you taking time out.
Anytime. I can come out anytime.
Thank you, Wanda.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You guys are fun.
And I got to spend the day in the nursery, so that was great.
And kind of shopping around, picking out plants for your color bowls. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
That's okay. Always a
Josiah,
fun time.
Josiah, why don't you lead us out?
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for watching or listening. I know if you're listening, it was kind of hard to see those planters, so I highly advise you going over to YouTube and checking out the video. Mm-hmm. Again, if you have any gardening questions, please feel free to send those into the show at rockwellfarms.com or comment down below either on YouTube, Instagram, X, or Facebook. We answer those on the show. So, hey, you can find us on a whole bunch of places. This is a podcast, so you can find us on Pandora, Spotify, and anywhere you find a good podcast. We love talking to you. And, hey, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.